Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
We the church. Today I want to spend some time in the book of Acts. You know, the book of Acts is known as the Acts of the Apostles. However, only a few apostles are highlighted throughout the book. Of course, it talks about Peter. Then it mentions James and it talks about Paul. But the majority of the book of Acts is primarily stories about how everyday ordinary disciples obeyed the Great Commission. Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. That's one of the first scriptures I memorized as a disciple. Now, some of you who've been in the faith a while may say that church is always talking about evangelism. They're always talking about helping other people. Why? Well, I am a beneficiary of someone obeying the Great Commission. I am a recipient of someone taking the time out of their schedule to reach out to me. I did not convert myself. I am grateful that someone sat down and read God's word with me. And in fact, you know what Jesus said in the book of Acts before he ascended? He said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So what I want to talk about today is how God's people really were the church. And guess what? There are problems in the church. You know, sometimes we can look at the church and, you know, initially we're excited about it and we can't wait to be a part of it. And we're telling our friends and family about it. But then we realize we are with people. Problems in the church. Well, in Acts chapter 6 and verse 1, but as believers were rapidly multiplying, there were rumblings of discontentment. The Greek-speaking believers complained about the Hebrew-speaking believers, saying that their widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food. Here we go. Church is doing great. Acts 2, all these people have become Christians. Acts 4, it said more and more people are becoming Christians. We get to Acts 6. Problem. Hold up. We're not happy. We are feeling left out. And let me tell you, if you're part of a family, a business, an organization, there are times you may feel left out. You know, I talk to my young dads and I laugh with them because, you know, when they call home, mom is asking, how you doing? How you doing? And then, you know, once they get married, mom is asking, how's your wife? And then once they have a baby, everything is about the baby. How's the baby? I want to see the baby. The baby, after a while, you're like, what about me? What happened to me? We can feel left out. Well, in this church, it was doing great, but there were a group of people who were feeling left out. A problem. Now, what we see in the flesh as a problem, you know what? God sees that as potential. God sees that as an opportunity for something amazing to transpire. So the 12 called a meeting of all the believers. They said, we apostles should spend our time teaching the word of God, not running a food program. And so brothers, select 7 men who are well-respected and full of the spirit and wisdom. We will give them this responsibility. Then we apostles can spend our time in prayer and teaching in the word. Everyone liked the idea. They chose the following: Stephen, a man full of faith and Holy Spirit, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas of Antioch, an earlier convert to Judaism. These 7 were presented to the apostles, who prayed for them and they laid their hands on them. So there was a problem in the church and the apostles said, you know what? Let's do something about it. They called the meeting together. They say, listen, I want you to do this. I want you to choose some spiritual men. I want you to figure out who are the brothers that are well-respected and full of wisdom, because they're going to help us solve this problem. They chose those seven brothers, and they said, guess what? Now you're in charge of the food program. In essence, to be a waiter in the first century church, you had to be spiritual. You had to be full of wisdom. And the apostle said, I want you to take on that responsibility. See, where we see problems, God sees potential. I want you to think about that word for a moment. Potential. And really what I want you to understand is that that means there was an opportunity for something miraculous, amazing to transpire. There was an opportunity for something to happen in the future. Now, at that moment, it seemed hard. It seemed discouraging. And the church, if the church had not been spiritual, could have easily split. But because the disciples were ready, when they were called upon, there were men in the church who were ready to step in and serve. You know, during this time we've been in this incubation, in this pandemic, I hope we've been working on ourselves. I hope we've been growing. I hope we've been reading our Bibles, learning scriptures, going deeper in the Word of God, because I tell you, we need to be prepared. At any point in time, the Holy Spirit may make it clear there is something that God needs for us to do. How are we doing being ready to be used by God? You know, during this challenging time, no one can stifle our spiritual growth. During this time, no one can limit how deep we get into the Word of God, how much we grow in our wisdom, because the more Bible we know, the more we grow in wisdom. How are we doing in our spiritual development? Could we have been chosen to be one of the seven? So then you keep reading in Acts chapter 7. Church is growing, it's moving. It's every time, you know, when God's people obeyed, the church grew. God bless it. Because before we go on to Acts 7, look at Acts 6 in verse 7. So God's message continued to spread. The number of believers greatly increased in Jerusalem, and many of the Jewish priests were converted too. Because God's people obeyed and did not allow the problem to destroy the fellowship, but they looked at it as a potential opportunity for God's Spirit to work, the church continued to grow. Church was growing, church was growing, church was growing. The religious leaders were hearing about the growth of the church. You know, at first they were cool with it, but then they started having problems with the church. The Jewish leaders, the element that was in charge, the status quo, was having a problem with all of these radical disciples. And they started to confront them. Now, Stephen, the first waiter, was out there preaching the word. So it's not, you know, I have the gift of serving, so all I do is serve. No, we all have the responsibility of preaching the word. If we are disciples of Christ, God, Jesus expects all of us to try to share his word. So Stephen was out there. Stephen was out there preaching the word. Finally, it got to the officials and they wanted a meeting. So what did Stephen do? Well, Stephen said, Peter, James, and John, I need you all because the other leaders want to know why we're doing it. No, Stephen said, I got this. I am a man of God. Now, this was out of his job description because he was given the job of just being a waiter. And the apostles were going to spend their time to prayer and ministry of the word. But you know, when you have conviction, when you are a man or woman of conviction, and you have an opportunity to preach the word of God, you're not looking for anybody else. You're not looking for a leader. You're not looking for the pastor. You're not looking for an older Christian. You yourself say, I need to share what God means to me, what his word means to me. So, you know, he was preaching. And then Stephen got bold because in verse 51, you stubborn people, you are heathen at heart and deaf to the truth, must you forever resist the Holy Spirit? That's what your ancestors did, and so do you. Name one prophet your ancestors didn't persecute. They even killed the ones who predicted the coming of the righteous one, the Messiah whom you betrayed and murdered. You deliberately disobeyed God's law, even though you received it from the hands of the angels. Problem, he confronted the religious establishment. They were hot. It was not going to be good. But you know what? Stephen did not back down. In verse 54, the Jewish leaders were infuriated by Stephen's accusations, and they shook their fists at him in rage. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed steadily into heaven and saw the glory of God and saw Jesus standing in the place of honor at God's right hand. Notice, in every other occasion, Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God. But for some reason, Stephen's faith, Jesus stood up. That's what I'm talking about. See, he is a disciple. He is preaching the word. Look, he said, I see heaven open and a Son of Man standing in the place of honor at God's right hand. Then they put their hands over their ears, began shouting. They rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, began to stone him. His accusers took off their clothes and laid them at the feet of a young man named Saul. When you preach the word with deep conviction, there may be problems. Now, I'm not talking about insulting people. I'm not talking about getting in spiritual sword fights and saying who won the battle. And I know more scripture than you and you're not teaching the truth. I'm not talking about being malicious and petty. You know, I know how to talk about being malicious and petty because I've done that. You know, in my young Christian days, I didn't mind going toe to toe. I mean, going and, you know, I wish I could say it was always out of good motive. But Stephen here was preaching the word. Well, because Stephen had deep conviction, there was a problem. He upset people. And guess what? He was killed. He was killed for his faith. In chapter 8, in verse 1, it says, a great wave of persecution began that day, sweeping over the church in Jerusalem, and all the believers except the apostles were scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. Some devout men came and buried Stephen with great mourning, but Saul was going everywhere to destroy the church. He went from house to house, dragging out both men and women to throw them into prison. What was the problem? The religious elite was upset. Potential. God said, now you're going to do what I told you to do. Because notice, if you go back to Acts chapter 1, Jesus said, my gospel is going to be preached in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. But you know, I can be honest with you. Sometimes, even as disciples, we get so excited and so comfortable and happy in our relationships that we forget we're still on mission. And I get it. When you finally find a circle of friends, people you can trust, you know, you babysit each other's kids, you can trust your spouse around them. You're like, hey, this is what I've been looking for. And I believe maybe the early brothers and sisters got a little too comfortable. And so when Stephen stepped out of that comfort circle, religious people say, boom, persecution. Stephen died. And guess what? Now the gospel went to Judea. Oh, isn't that what Jesus had said to do anyway? So how we can see that as a problem, that was potentially the Holy Spirit moving, saying, now something better is coming along. Potential, something better is coming along. But guess who was next in line? This gentleman by the name of Philip. It says, godly men buried Stephen. Maybe Philip was one of those godly men who buried his son. Philip was the second guy chosen to be a waiter. And Philip got out of town. He said the only people that stayed were the apostles. Philip got out of town. I don't know why the brother left. The scriptures don't say. I don't know if Philip said, you know what? If I stay around here in Jerusalem, chances are they know who I am. I could be next. Or maybe Philip say, you know what? I'm just going to go and let life happen and trust that God is in control. Well, guess what? Philip goes down to the other people. You remember last week, Angel talked about those people, the ones we hate, who is our enemy? He went to the enemy because the Jewish people did not like the Samaritans. That's what the parable of the Good Samaritan is about, because a Jewish person would go on the other side of the road. Samaritans, they're dirty. They're Gentiles, half Gentile, you know, half Gentile, half Jew, mixed people. They're just heathens. We won't have anything to do with those folks. Now, what's deep about Jesus, and this is something I learned as a young Christian, the Lord doesn't ask us to do anything he didn't do first. You go back in the Gospels, Jesus goes to Samaria. He's there at the well. He's having a conversation with a woman. The woman goes to get all her friends and the town and brings them to hear Jesus. And Jesus stays a few days in Samaria preaching the gospel. So basically, Jesus had already evangelized Samaria. And he told his disciples, I want you to go Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. So what was the problem? So Philip had to look at this as, preaching to these folks? I don't want to preach to them. I don't have any. I'm the only disciple here. What am I going to say? I don't know if you've ever felt like I'm the only disciple in my family. I'm the only disciple among my friends. I'm the only disciple at my job. Man, what can I say? What can I do? Philip doesn't say a whole entourage went with him. It says Philip went down into Samaria. He looked around. This is a problem. No, he said, this is potential. Maybe God will move here. And it says that he preached the word. And you know what's deep about that? It says all the believers, it just wasn't Philip, who were scattered, preached the good news about Jesus wherever they went. Philip, for example, went to the city of Samaria and told the people about the Messiah. Crowds listened intently to Philip because they were eager to hear this message and see the miraculous signs he did. Many evil spirits were cast out, screaming as they left the victims, and many who had been paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in that city. What was the problem? These are the other people, the enemy. And their hearts were wide open. See, as a disciple, we can focus on the problem, or we can look at it as a potential opportunity for God to do something great. Whenever there is an issue, something happening in the church, we can focus on the problem, or we can look at it potentially. God is about to do something great. Whenever there's an issue or something going on in our lives and our families, we can focus on the problem, or we can say this is a potentially an opportunity for God to do something great. You know, God worked so powerfully that even the apostles, James and John, Peter and John, they heard about what happened. It says in verse 4, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard about the people of Samaria had accepted God's message, they sent Peter and John there. They sent them there to check it out. What is going on? Philip, he wasn't an apostle. He was a servant, the waiter. Stephen, he wasn't an apostle. He was a servant, the waiter. And you know what? God used them. As we are being the church, I want us to understand, no matter who we are, as everyday people, God can use us. And I'm excited. I'm grateful because we have some amazing disciples in this ministry. Many of you now have started helping your friends to become Christians. And there are people who are part of the PATH ministry who never saw the corporate body. You've never seen the entire church, but you have gotten to know Jesus. And we're looking forward to seeing you. And I'm very grateful. All our lives, my wife and I have been honored and blessed and privileged to work with men and women who understood the Great Commission. And they will go out in small groups and help people to get to know Jesus. And a lot of those people are faithful to this day, scattered all over the world. I want us to remember, we are the church. We the church. You know, right now I'm studying the Bible with one of my former students and with Chase and Chris Dorellis and Angel, and we're having a blast teaching this young man how to be the church. And you know how it started? We became Facebook friends. He's a former student. We became Facebook friends. I asked him just to come in this past summer and teach a financial literacy class to the boys at Best. He served. After he served, a couple of weeks later, he reached out to me and said, Professor, I got some spiritual questions. Can you read the Bible with me? And now he's studying, learning how to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. If you have friends out there who want to serve and do good, take them with you. Let them serve. But most important, I want us to understand, it's about imitating the greatest servant of all, Jesus. Jesus came. He gave up his rightful position in heaven. He served. He served. He sacrificed his life so that we could live. And we have an opportunity to have a relationship with God because of Jesus. As we take communion right now, I want us to reflect on how much Jesus has served us. And let's make a decision that this week we will go and serve each other and the lost. Let us pray. God and Father, we come before you right now and thank you so much for your son. We thank you for the body that was broken, dear God. We thank you for the blood that was shed. We thank you, God, for Jesus' sacrifice, and we pray to imitate his spirit. We love you, Father. We ask these prayers in your son's name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.